Blog Talk Radio.
Say its name, no, no. Forgive.
Heal our country if we just forgive. Wonderful Lord, teach us how to live like you did. Teach us how that even while hanging on the cross, you said, Father, forgive them. Even in the prayer that you've taught your disciples, your words were, forgive others before I can forgive you.
Well, good evening and welcome to Processing the Pain. With yours truly, Coach D, I want to welcome you into the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining us. We are, wow, that forgive song always gets to me because so often we don't forgive ourselves and we can't forgive others. And that song just really ministered that we have to learn to forgive ourselves and to forgive others. So welcome into the studio on tonight. I'm excited about the topic tonight. We're going to be discussing condemnation. What is condemnation and why is it not our friend? We will get into some details, but before we get into details, tonight's show for me was a struggle. I tried to do this show last Thursday, and forces that be would have it that the network that I'm under was shut down for maintenance unbeknownst to me. So when it came time for the show, I was unable to do the show. So for that, I apologize to anyone that tuned in on last Thursday and was disappointed because there was no show. It was beyond my control. And again, we apologize. So we're going to pick up tonight what we were going to share last Thursday. And so on tonight, again, our subject matter is going to be condemnation. How do we overcome it? So before we get into the subject, because the subject is going to get deep, and right now I want to give a warning to those that's listening in through our live studio audience or listening in online. If you're super duper spiritual, this may not be the topic matter and the subject for you tonight. So I'm giving you an opportunity to hang up the phone or disconnect or walk out of the studio. But this subject matter tonight is just going to be real. It's something that's going to be able to touch most people if they're able to be true to their convictions. If they're able to be true to themselves, this subject is going to touch everybody in some kind of way. And I'm going to be very transparent, very, very transparent on the topic tonight. So before we get started, I'm going to do a prayer, give you an opportunity to get comfortable, call up your, you know, call up anyone that you know that may be going through something that maybe right now can't walk in their relationship with God because of some choice that they made that has caused them to run away from God instead of run towards Him. If you know anyone like that, you need to have them be on this show tonight because this show is going to be dealing with that. And we know a lot of people have walked away from the church, not because of anything the church has done, but because they made choices that they don't feel good about, and they just never knew how to come back. They never knew how to make it right. So we're going to discuss that tonight. So, Father, we just come humbly before your throne, Lord. And first and foremost, Father God, we ask for your forgiveness of our sins and our shortcomings. For we know we have sinned and fallen short of your glory, Father God. And we just ask that you will forgive us, Father. Create in us clean hearts and renew right spirits within us, Father, that we will be all that you've created us to be, Father, that we will walk not in condemnation, Father, but, Father God, that we will be true to our convictions, Father God, true to our convictions that leads us to you, Father God, that causes us to have a repentant heart, Lord. So, Father, we just thank you tonight. Have your way. Let your Holy Spirit reign, Father God. No longer our will, but thy will, Father God. I die completely to self, Father, that your purpose for tonight's show will manifest itself in me and through me to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, great. But we're going to just get to business on tonight. Again, I thank each and every one for listening in. I normally, everybody knows that my motto is, I'm excited about tonight. And I can't say that I'm really excited about this evening because of this subject matter. This is a touchy subject matter. But I think it's a subject matter that's going to cause a lot of us to be free. One of the biggest and the most successful trick that the enemy has for the believer is condemnation. This is a trick of the enemy to keep us in condemnation. And let me just explain what condemnation is. I know we've heard the word. If you've been anywhere near church, you've heard the word condemnation. And so let's just make sure we understand what condemnation means. According to the Webster Dictionary, it says condemnation is a statement or expression of very strong and definite criticism or disapproval. It also goes on to say to express an unfavorable or adverse judgment on, indicate strong disapproval of. The act of condemning or pronouncing someone or something to be wrong is the blame. The act of declaring something awful or evil. So now this is the definition of condemnation. So now that we know what condemnation is, we got the true definition of what condemnation is. We could get the definition of what it means, but let me tell you what condemnation looked like. Where did condemnation come from? Well, the first sign of condemnation was in Genesis 3. And the sign of condemnation in Genesis 3 is when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. What's the first thing they did? The first thing they did when they heard God was they ran. They hid. They were in condemnation. Condemnation brings with it its relatives. And the relatives of condemnation is the spirit of guilt, the spirit of shame, the spirit of blame, all these things that causes us to run away from God rather towards God. Condemnation will cause us to run away from God rather than towards God. And that can't be a good thing. But we've seen it happen. We've seen the spirit of condemnation come into the earth realm in Genesis 3 when sin happened. It brought forth the spirit of condemnation. Isn't that amazing that the first sin of man was in the garden, Genesis 3, when they disobeyed God and ate of the fruit? And as soon as that sin took place, it automatically brought the spirit of condemnation with it. And condemnation, until this day, we are still operating in the spirit of condemnation when we do something or make choices that are not right. We have a tendency, our first thought is condemnation. And it may have something to do with the Garden of Eden, why our first choice is, or the first thing we think is condemnation. We want to run away. We're embarrassed. We're ashamed. We think we can hide from God. Not knowing that we can never hide from God, but we think we can. Adam thought he could hide from God. So we'll run away. So, and God doesn't want us to be condemned. And we're going to get further into that. It's not just something I'm saying. He tells us in his word that he doesn't want us to be condemned. But condemned, so now we've already determined that condemnation, we know what it is. It's a judgment. It's something expression of strong disapproval. So we know that that's what condemnation is. We know that the first sign of condemnation was in Genesis 3. Once sin hit the earth, once sin took place, it automatically came with the spirit of condemnation. So we've all agreed on that. And then we know that condemnation comes with other spirits. It's the spirits of guilt and shame. We have a runaway spirit. We want to run and hide. We want to run away from God instead of towards God. I often wonder, in Genesis 3, I wonder when the Adam and Eve ate of that fruit in disobedience, I often say to myself, I wonder if Adam would have just said, Lord, I blew it. Lord, I messed up. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I wonder if he did that, what would the state of the world, the earth, be? I don't even know if any of this would even exist had he just been had he just been repentant. And so I often think about that, but he wasn't. You know, he ran, and that came with consequences. So anyway, we've determined condemnation. We know when it first came, according to the word of God. And so now we want to deal with it. We want to see what God's word say about condemnation, and we want to see why it's not our friend. Why condemnation is not our friend? Because it turns us away from God. Conviction drives us towards God. When we're true to our conviction, it drives us towards God. But condemnation pulls us away. And the enemy uses condemnation to keep us stagnant, to keep us out of relationship with God. God has already given us provision for our shortcomings. He's given us provision when we stumble. He's given us provision when we make mistakes. He's already given those provisions, and that part of the provision is not condemnation. But he gives us the ability to come boldly before his throne and ask for forgiveness of that thing, to acknowledge it. Yes, this is what I've done. I've blown it. Now, Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. And he's given these provisions to us so that we wouldn't have to be in condemnation, so that we would not have to fail. And so we oftentimes don't take advantage of the provisions that he's already given us in his word so that we could live whole, that we could live whole lives, that we, you know, that just because we fell down and we scraped up our knee, that we could get back up, wipe our knee off, and keep striding towards the call of the, you know, towards the mark of the high call. He wants us to move towards him. He wants to be to grow in relationship with him. And we cannot, because the whole thing of sin is separation from God. Now, would everybody agree that the definition of sin is separation from God? So if we're in condemnation, guess what? We're in sin. So not only did we create a sin that caused the condemnation, but because we're in condemnation, we're in further sin because it separates us from relationship with God. So we want to get to a point that we're not perfect. And God says in his word, no man, none is perfect. And he says that we all have fallen short. We all have sinned and fallen short of his glory. So we know that. So we know that in this mortal body, we will make some bad choices. We know that we will be subjected to sin. And so I hear people saying now as I say that, oh, okay, well, he know I'm not perfect. And you hear this a lot. God know my heart. I'm not perfect. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing because I'm not perfect. I'm just human. Put the brakes on. Don't use you're not perfect. You're just a human as an excuse because it's not an acceptable excuse. And I'm going to tell you why. We're going to go further into the word of God, not Coach D's word, but the word of God to find out why. Before we go any further, I want to give a testimony. And I'm going to be very transparent because I'm not perfect. But I had a couple of weeks ago, my birthday, all may know, is July the 20th, and it was my birthday, and my youngest son, he's away for the summer visiting family out of state, and so he's gone, and I was just sitting at home, not doing much of nothing, just a little bored, and I got an opportunity to go for a dinner for my birthday, and it was nice, and I spent a couple hours at dinner, and then after dinner, I got dropped back off, and I was just kind of bored and just sitting around with my BFF and I was thinking, I don't want to just sit around. I'm tired of just sitting around. I'm bored. Ooh, be careful of that word bored. I'm bored. My whole life is my network, my business. I'm a mother and that's all I constantly do, and there's no real adult interaction, and I just want to do something. Well, guess what? I played around with the spirit of boredom for so long, and I entertained it for so long that I found myself making a choice, and I ended up somewhere that I wouldn't have normally went to, not in this season of my life. So I ended up at a club, and once I got there, before I even went in, I heard in my spirit, Denise, what are you doing? And I was like, ooh, I know. And I'm going back and forth with this conversation within my own self. I'm struggling within my own self because I'm asking myself, how did I get this far? Why am I here? What am I going to do here? This is not something that I really want to do. But I didn't speak it to the people that I was with because I felt, I wasn't driving, I rode, and I felt like I had already agreed to go do this, so now I'm here, now I felt stuck that I got to do it, but now in my mind, I'm going to be honest, and any leader or anybody that's leadership in ministry, I'm not saying that everybody got the same thing, but I don't know if everybody could agree, maybe everybody can't, but somebody out there can get where I'm coming from when I get ready to say what I'm getting ready to say. I mean, I know everybody, some people have arrived and they're super duper spiritual and they just never had experiences, but somebody out there is going to be able to relate. But I'm going back and forth now with this. I'm being convicted, basically. I'm being convicted and I'm going back and forth with these, talking to the inner man in me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I do? Now I'm going to go to this place and I'm going to see people I know, and they're going to be like, Coach D, what you doing in a place like this? And, oh, I'm going to taint my testimony. And, I'm going through this stuff, but I go along with it. So I walk in, and as soon as I walk into this place, the first face that hit me was a family member. He was it's a cousin. It's my cousin's, it was my cousin's child, which is my cousin, but she calls me aunt. So our eyes immediately connected, and you could just see the embarrassment on her face, the embarrassment on my face, and we're both embarrassed, and we're both like, oh, my gosh, she probably, I wasn't wondering what she was doing there, but I know she was wondering what I'm doing here, because she said, what are you doing here? And the only thing I can say is, I don't know. So I go in and I sit down, and she made sure she took care of me and that all was well with me. I left the place. I was there maybe an hour or two, and then I left the place. But let me tell you, I left with such a spirit of conviction. And that's when this show was birthed in me. It was birthed in me because I could have easily went into a spirit of condemnation. I could have easily walked away from what God has given me because of the guilt of me doing what I felt for me was not a good decision. And so I chose right then. I had a choice. I seen it. He allowed me to see the fork in the road, so to say. For the first time, he allowed me to see, okay, what you going to do with this? Now, you made a choice. You made a decision. Now, what are you going to do with the decision you made? Are you going to operate in conviction and be true to that conviction? Or will you operate in condemnation? Well, what the spirit of condemnation would have looked like is if I would have been condemned, I would have been guilty. I would have been ashamed. I would have been wondering what other people are going to think about me and, oh, my gosh, and all this other kind of stuff. And I would have felt, the enemy would have allowed me to feel like I was not worthy to do what God has called me to do. We see it all the time. We see it in churches. We see it in leadership. We see it all the time where the man of God, the woman of God, will make a bad choice. And because they just wouldn't be true to that conviction, acknowledge that thing, and repent, and be done with it, they hide it, the guilt, the condemnation of it all. And then what happens is that sometimes with condemnation, oftentimes, that if you just embrace the spirit of condemnation, eventually what will happen is you'll become numb to that thing. That means you're ignoring the spirit of conviction. You'll become numb to that thing, and what you'll find is that'll become a habit. We see it. Because oftentimes when people get busted for doing something, I don't care if you're in Christ or you're not in Christ, this is a principle. When people normally get busted for doing something, it's not their first rodeo. It is not the first rodeo. Generally, by the time the light shines on the darkness, that person has been in darkness for a while. So when Brother John get caught with the prostitute, normally, statistically, Brother John had been sleeping with prostitutes for a while. Now, I'm not trying to condemn the church. I'm saying that we got to get out of the spirit of condemnation. We got to get out of the spirit of condemnation to ourselves, and we got to get out of the spirit of condemnation to others. But we have to be, in order to do that, we have to be willing to be true to our convictions. When we make a bad choice, acknowledge that thing. Be willing to acknowledge it. It's no more than to yourself. Acknowledge, Lord, to you and between you and God, Lord, I blew it. I made a not so good choice. And Lord, I don't feel good about this choice I made. And I'm asking you to forgive me. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit so I can get back on track. Because I don't want to be separated from you. I don't want you to take your presence from me. I want to be in your presence. I want to be able to enter, you know, come before your throne. I don't want anything on my back, around my neck, that's going to keep me from being able to come before you. And when we make bad choices and we don't acknowledge them, those things become a bridge between us and God. That's what sin is. It keeps us away from God, separated. And so we don't want the spirit of condemnation. We don't want to operate in the spirit of condemnation. We want to operate in the spirit of conviction. And so anyway, the testimony I was telling you, the bottom line to it is that I started with a spirit of condemnation because I was ashamed and I was guilty. And, you know, my worst nightmare had happened because I had seen somebody I knew, you know. And then I had to ask myself, well, I had to even go through the process of thinking, well, if I never seen her, would I be convicted? if I'd never seen it. But I was convicted before I even went in. So I'm saying that to say is that that one thing, I wasn't going to allow the enemy to cause me to get stuck in a place that would separate me from the love of God and from where God has me today. And so I wanted to share that because somebody's probably going through something. Somebody's probably made some type of choice within the last week or two that they don't feel good about. Now, I hear the other person say, well, Coach D, what's wrong with going to the club? What's wrong with going to, you know, wherever? What's wrong with sleeping with this person? Or what's wrong with going to a strip club? Or what's wrong with doing this? You know, I hear people saying that. What's wrong with it? Well, this is what I would say. It may not be anything wrong with it, but this is what I'll say, because I know the Bible might not say, well, don't go, but you know what? You got to know your word. And one of the scriptures that stood out the most for me, because I also hear people say, well, it don't say nothing about smoking in the Bible. It don't say nothing about drinking in the Bible. It don't say nothing about this in the Bible. It don't say anything about that in the Bible. And there's a lot of things that it don't say directly in the Bible. But this is what I'll say. In James chapter 4, verse 17, it says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. I'm going to repeat that because that rings loud, because it's not saying that just because you didn't follow the Ten Commandments. This is not what this scripture is saying. Because most of us say, well, I follow the Ten Commandments, so I ain't sinning. Anything else outside the Ten Commandments, I'm cool. I'm in good standing. But this says here, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So if you even remotely think this thing that you're doing is not good or something God would not be pleased with, then guess what? If you're doing it, is sin. Again, that was James chapter 4, verse 17. You might want to note that. So we're going to go a little further into it, because now we all done made mistakes. We all done made choices that we know was not pleasing to God. And some of us made choices that we may have not known it wasn't pleasing until after we made the choice, but most of us make choices that we know before we made the choice that it wasn't. I mean, we know some of the stuff we do, you know, when we get irritated at somebody and we make a decision, a choice, we're going to cuss that person out. That's a decision and a choice that we made, that we know that cussing somebody out is not pleasing to God, but we'll do it because we're mad and we don't care, so we just do it. We know that thing where we're dating someone, and then all of a sudden we're dating and we've made a decision that we're going to live a certain lifestyle, but then all of a sudden we're dating this person. Now, why do we, if we're dating and we know that we've made a decision that we're going to live a celibate lifestyle and we're not going to be engaged, so why do we prep? And what I mean by prep, it's okay, yeah, you should take a shower and clean yourself because you don't want to be stinking, but I'm just saying, well, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. When you're going on a date with this guy that you're attracted to and you go through all the nine yards. Now, I'm talking about women of God who's living celibate lives, who say they're going to wait till they get married before they have sex. But we'll get on, put on the pretty panty set. We're going to make sure the bra and the panty match. We're going to make sure we got something on that's flattering to the eye. We want to get to the five senses, look, the feel, the smell, the touch, you know, all that, the five senses, you know what they are. No, I'm not saying them right. But we do this stuff. And then when we get in a situation, we shocked. Why are we shocked? We already prepped. We prepped just in case. See, but if we went out with the attitude that it ain't going to be a just in case, and I'm not going to even prep for the just in case, then we probably wouldn't even get ourselves in situations. So, again, we know those things that we could get caught up in doing. Now, why did I bring that up? Coach D, why did you bring that up? What sense does that make? Well, the sense that it makes is this. It's one thing to sin. It's another thing to live a lifestyle of sin. What's the difference? Well, the difference is that to sin, meaning you sinned. One time I sinned, I blew it, and I'm able to repent. which means turn away from. Anytime in the Bible that you heard God heal somebody or Jesus heal someone, he would always say, go and sin no more. That was always his thing, go and sin no more. Every time he healed someone, every time he settled a situation, the woman that had got caught she was an adulterer, and she got caught, and they wanted to stone her. And he said, anyone who, you know, without sin, cast the first stone, and nobody could cast the first stone. And he ministered to her and told her, go and sin no more. The woman at the well, go and sin no more. The gentleman that was sick, rise, take up your bed, go and sin no more. So it was always go and sin no more. Repent. So repent means to turn away from and go and sin no more. Now, Coach D, what does that mean? I'm never going to sin again? No, that's not what that means, but it's saying that what that means is that don't make it a lifestyle. What's a lifestyle of sinning? You know the lifestyle of sinning. Those are the things that we do perpetually. And some of us are struggling with a sin that we know is a lifestyle, that we're living it. And this is not to condemn, but I pray that a spirit of conviction to come down, that the areas in our lives that we know are habitual, that we're living a lifestyle of sin. Because the Word of God also goes on to say that in 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. God can't sin. And God said that he created us in his image. And then it also goes on to say that it's his spirit. We're his temple. His spirit lives inside of us. So there's no way. And I know this is going to hurt. Ouch. If you truly get this revelation, it's going to hurt. Because a lot of us got that thing that we don't want to get rid of. And the thing with John, 1 John is telling us, if you practice in sin, that's of the devil. The Spirit of God is living in you. And if you practice in sin, he can't be there. Because sin separates us from God. So if we're practicing this thing and we saying we of God, we got to take another look. You know, we got to take another look. Now, he's already told us that, in John chapter 3:17, he already told us that he sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So he didn't come to condemn us. He came to set us free. But some people just don't want to be set free. He gave a provision. I'm going to set you free. Yes, you're going to blow it sometimes. Yes, you're going to make bad decisions. Yes, you may fall, but I'm giving you a provision, and the provision is called repentance. It's called conviction, to be true to your convictions, to repent of that thing and turn away from it and go and sin no more. Don't continue to think that you could keep sinning. Well, I hear people's minds saying, well, you know what, God forgive me. And the Word of God says to forgive seven times 70. Well, but guess what? First John goes back and tells us again, we can't live a lifestyle of sin. We can't be habitual sinners and say that we're of God. Because if we're trying to please God because we're of God and we're his children, and he says the one condition that you even know that you're a child of God is for his promise to deliver. And our requirement to be obedient. So if he's promising to deliver us from all things, so if he's promised to deliver, if we're living a lifestyle of sin, then we're not even accepting his promise to deliver. Now, taking it a step further, not only are we not accepting his promise to deliver us from that thing, but we're also required to be obedient. And if we're doing something and living a lifestyle of sin, so not only are we not accepting his promise to deliverance, but we're not even accepting the requirement of obedience. And that is how we know that we belong to him. That's how we know that we are God's people. So we got to start looking at those things. Now, again, in James 4, I told you about the therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him is sin. We all know when we're doing something that's not pleasing to God. Now, I might do something that the next person might do. I may be convicted. That person may not. And that's why the term judge not least thee be judged comes into play, because you don't know. This is a personal thing between us and God. There are some obvious sins, but then there's some things that James Ford is talking about. You know, between you and God, you know what things are not okay with God. You know what things are not considered good for you. You know, in the Bible, one of the drinks of preference was wine. That was a common drink. It was probably more common than water in those days. So wine was a common thing, so you're not going to ever see anything in the Bible that speaks probably anything different other than don't be drunk with wine. So it talks about being drunk. But I say this to say that I may could have wine, and it may not be a conviction for me, nor may it not be something that's not good for me. But maybe the next person, for them it may not be good, because maybe they have a problem with wine. Maybe they don't know when to stop drinking wine. Maybe they drink too much wine and get drunk. Maybe God has already shared with them, don't you touch another glass of wine. And so that's how you could see that there's two people serving the same God, and God's rules don't change, but there's two different convictions. Because the relationship is personal. No more than a parent that has multiple kids. They don't treat all their kids the same. Each kid is uniquely individual. And how they deal with one child may be different than they deal with the other child. One child may only require a verbal communication to get them to do what they're supposed to do, where the other child may require something more harsh, like taking away privileges. So God is the same way with his children. He deals with each one of us differently, even though his rules never change. Your rules of your house rules never change, but how you deal with each child may change. Then we go on to say that John chapter 3, verse 17, that for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Then, this is the key right here. Romans chapter 8, 1 tells us, therefore now, because we serve a now God, you know, now faith, now God, therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Key here, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, because in order for us to sin, we have to be operating in the flesh. And that's not going to, and we are flesh, so it's not going to say we are not going to ever sin. But what it's saying is don't be walking after the things of the flesh. In other words, don't be desiring and lusting and obsessing over the things of the flesh, because if you do that, then guess what? More than likely, you're going to probably be living a lifestyle of sin. But it's when we seek spiritual things, the things of God, where we're walking after the Spirit, where we're asking God daily, we're going before God praying. You know, we have a prayer life. We're praying daily. We're, you know, it says pray without ceasing. Not that you got to be on your knees. That's just a one formation of prayer. But you could be praying throughout the whole day. It doesn't have to be loud. It doesn't have to be verbal. But in your mind and in your heart and in your spirit, you could be praying throughout the day, constantly praying. You know, constantly asking God for his guidance, asking him for his wisdom, asking him for his protection, asking him which way you should go, when you should go this way, when you shouldn't go this way. It could be constant. And when we're doing that, then we're walking after the things of the Spirit. And we're not lusting after the things of the flesh. And so Romans said that there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Ooh, I thought that was amazing because it didn't say there's no condemnation at all. It said there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. See, these are some powerful scriptures, and you probably read them 1,000 times, but sometimes there comes a time when a scripture comes about that you've read 1,000 times, but depending on where you're at in your journey, that scripture just begins to just illuminate. And you'd be like, wow, I've seen that a million times, but for some reason, tonight, it's standing for me different. Because even though I prepared and I prepped to give this word, even though I planned and I prepared to talk about condemnation versus conviction, and it was birthed from a place that I went through, from an experience and a choice that I made that for me wasn't a great choice, these scriptures really ministered to me because, you know, because oftentimes I've asked the questions in my own mind, even as someone who, you know, someone who's, you know, been in the Word and you know, is a minister of the Word, of the Gospel. I've asked in my mind, Lord, how many times can somebody, you know, how many times can somebody just keep sinning, you know? And we know He's a merciful God and His grace is sufficient. But I was like, okay, come on, you know, what's the, you know, and so for me to find some of these scriptures, it was just like, wow, James 4 was just amazing. You know what I'm saying? 1 John was amazing to just read this and understand in chapter 3 that he said that somebody that's practicing sin is of the devil. It's not even of him because that's not the way his child would operate. And so then in 1 John also in chapter 3, verse 20, it says, for if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. So that spoke to me, and it could speak to each person differently. Everybody may have a different revelation. But for me, what that spoke to me is that even when the enemy tries to consume me with the spirit of condemnation, and the spirit of guilt and the spirit of shame and the spirit of blame, that God is greater than that soul feeling, that heart feeling. He's greater. He knows. He already knows what we did. He knew what Adam did. And all Adam had to do was say, God, I blew it. I made a not so good decision. And I apologize. I repent. And that's what he wants us to do. Not to say that we'll never sin. Not to say that we won't make bad choices. But he's saying, acknowledge that thing. Be willing to say, I blew it. This didn't please you, Lord. And I don't want to be displeasing to you. And so I repent before you. I turn away from this thing, Father. Again, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me so that I may serve you, that I may be in commune with you. And that's what God wants from us. Which one of us being a parent when our child has done something awful or done something contrary to what we told them, and when they come to it and they say, Mama, I blew it. How can you be mad? How could you be angry? The first thing as a parent is when they do that, they still going to have to get a consequence, but it's not harsh. The grace kicks in because you're saying, wow, you're proud. Like, wow, I'm so glad that you took accountability for what you did. Now, you know what you did wasn't right. We're going to have a talk. You may lose a privilege, but I'm not ready, you know, as a parent, we're not ready to do harsh punishment. When they acknowledge that thing. And God's the same way. He wants us to acknowledge it. He knows that we're going to be challenged. He knows we're in the earth realm. He knows we're living in the flesh. He knows that we're living, you know, that it's sin. But he's saying that he's made provisions for us. Take advantage of the provisions that he's given us. And the first provision is repent. Acknowledge the thing. Turn away. And then the other provisions is he said, I'm not going to condemn you. I didn't come that you may be condemned. And I don't want to condemn you because there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who's walking after me, who desires me, who wants to be in relationship with me. There's no condemnation. And so, you know, and he says it throughout. And as I shared, you know, John 8 with the lady, the one who says, cast the first stone. He told, you know, he says, none of these men, nobody tossed the stone. He said, so neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Whatever that thing is that you're dealing with, whatever that thing that's trying to keep you in condemnation, whatever that thing that has caused you to be numb, because you know if we keep creating a sin, like you said, it becomes a lifestyle of sin. And when you stay in a lifestyle of sin, what eventually ends up happening is that God will turn you over to a reprobate mind. Then you won't feel no conviction. You won't even feel no condemnation. Because now what you're doing, you believe what you're doing is okay, that you're doing it, or you don't care if it's not okay, but you don't have no connection to it. There's no guilt. There's no conviction. You don't care. We find that often in a lot of different situations that we know that take place. You know, and no condemnation, but, you know, we know it takes place. We got people that shacking together, been shacking together for years. And get up and go to church every Sunday. But there's no conviction. There's no guilt. There's no shame of what they're doing. They're living a lifestyle of sin. So anyway, the last what I want to say in this is that we all sin. We've all fallen short of his glory. But I'm hoping tonight that there was something that was said that clicked. Something that was said that said, hey, you know what? I don't want to be in condemnation. I don't want to condemn myself, and I don't want to be condemned. That whatever these things are, that thing is that you're dealing with and that's a struggle for you, take it before the throne of grace. He knows, but he needs you to acknowledge. He needs you to say, Lord, I'm struggling. This thing. You know, Paul said it best, you know, when he speaks about doing what he know is right, you know, and you know, trying to, he know it's not right, and he do it anyway, and, you know, he goes on to say, you know, in Romans chapter 7, starting with verse 15, for I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And then it goes on, skip to 24, it says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? From this sin, this flesh, and it says, thanks be to God through Christ Jesus, our Lord, the provision. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. My flesh is going to be my flesh, but when my spirit lines up vertically, then I can control the things of my flesh. And that's basically what Paul is saying. Yes. I war with my flesh. I'm constantly telling my flesh to be still. No, you're not. You're not going to do that. We have that control over our flesh. It's called consciousness. And as soon as we go unconscious, then our flesh do whatever it want to do, because that's what the flesh do. The flesh is in opposition to the spirit. And the spirit don't know anything of the flesh. So they're in constant opposition, warring against each other. And so we know that we have the power through Christ Jesus to overcome the things of the flesh. Lastly, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. So the bottom line is, examine yourself right now. Get somewhere in a quiet place. It's not that deep. Just get in a quiet place. Be still and examine yourself and begin to see, is Christ living inside of me? And if I believe as a believer that Christ is living inside of me, and I believe that I'm a child of God, then I cannot practice sinning. Because if I am practicing sinning, then that is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning, and that's not God. If you live in a lifestyle of sin, it's not God. It's not God. Now, guess what? Tonight, you know. You may have not knew earlier today. You may have not knew this yesterday. But for some reason, God allowed you to listen to this tonight because now you know. And it says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So my thing to us tonight, not just you but me, is go and sin no more. I thank you for joining us tonight. If anyone listening in on our studio audience have any questions or comments about tonight's show, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment, and we'll bring you in. We thank you for listening in on tonight. We pray that by God's Spirit, that something was said tonight that just released you, that released and destroyed the bondage of condemnation so that you could begin to live again, that you could begin your relationship with your God again, that you'll know that you're his people because you know that he's delivered you from condemnation and you know that you are desiring to be obedient, which is his requirement. So I just pray that it's blessed you on tonight. Again, we thank you for your constant support, on this evening. This word was for me like it was for you. I've enjoyed it. And so I really enjoyed it. If there's something that was said on tonight that really struck you, you have any questions, you know that you could always reach out to me. My email is coachd@mycoachd.net. Again, that's coachd@mycoachd.net. Always feel free to shoot me an email. I will get back with you. I'm always willing to listen and share with you, and we could go through the scriptures together. If you want prayer, we could pray together. I just want to see people delivered. I want to see people walking in whole and not being destroyed by condemnation and brokenness, you know, a lifestyle of just brokenness and sin. So, again, we appreciate you for tuning in tonight. If you missed any of this episode, please listen to the archive of about 15 minutes after the show is over. You could come back in and listen to the show. You could always pull up the show, and all you have to do is come back into Blog Talk Radio through the Internet. And MCD is blogtalkradio.com/MCD Network, and then look for Processing the Pain. You look for today's date. Click on the button, and it'll play tonight's show for you. If you missed any part, I would suggest for those who may just tuned in later in the show, listen to the archive. I believe it was dynamic. There was some testimony that went forth that was very healing. Could be healing for someone. So listen to the archive. And again, we thank you for joining us on tonight. Please continue to join us for our weekly programs. We have 3 weekly on Mondays. We have Relentless Pursuit at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And that's with Philandus Harris and Tamika Sanders. And they're bringing a whole new element to the millennial generation, talking about various subjects. On Tuesday, we have Woman to Woman with Minister LaDon and myself, and that's at 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, where we're discussing things that matter to women. And then, again, on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, we have Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D, and I have various topics. I'm always looking for guests. I'm providing a platform for people to be able to come and tell their stories of healing, their stories of deliverance. I'm always looking for positive guests that's been through something, but now look where God's got them. So, again, if you're interested in being a guest, feel free to email me again at coachd@mycoachd.net. Give me your story, and I'll review it with my team. And if it's chosen, we'll get back with you and set up some time for you to come on and share. We thank you and have a great evening. Love you.
I surrender.